Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay.
You didn't have anything to say? That's what you stopped with?
Like, I was setting you up. I was leading you to take us from there.
This is why you're not very good at this. But the show's really good. So don't listen because of that intro. We discuss hardships, trials, tribulations, a little update on the family. So
yeah, and we're asking everybody to pray. So stay tuned to our huge prayer request. All right, you ready to dive in?
Ready to dive in,
Mr. DP. So let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs got blown out by the Eagles.
By the Philly Dogs.
And all these people are like, I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes. I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes.
I wasn't either. I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong.
I mean, it was a blowout.
That was a beatdown. Listen, yeah. we talked about it going in. Like, I knew the roster was way better for Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But the roster's been better for a lot of teams that have played the Chiefs and 15 wins. Like, but and I was ready, man. Like, I was ready for the debate. I was ready to tell you that Mahomes was the greatest of all time.
Oh, like
100%.
Three-peat, the first team to ever
do it.
Like, better than Tom Brady.
It was done. It was over. Yes, I would have made the case, and I could have convinced you 100% that he was. You might not agree with that, but you're wrong.
But like, you could still make the case.
Yeah, but I mean, like who's better? I know what you're going to say to this. Who's better, MJ or LeBron?
MJ.
Okay, the LeBron argument is about longevity. Like greatness sustained over 20 years, whatever. That's and Brady had sustained greatness, but he wasn't this great ever. And Mahomes has shown that dominance, but man, did the narrative just go whoop because they got ruined in 30-something yards at half. Like that was a bad performance.
It seems like it's kind of given some of the other teams some confidence maybe. Like, yeah. Hey, we can beat them too, like the Bills or of course, the Bengals.
Yeah. Well, Sirianni, I like Sirianni too. They were up, and Sirianni didn't try to win. Like, he wanted to embarrass him. The coach for the Eagles.
You think he was running it up?
Bro, he was chucking bombs up by 30. You know, like.
I ended up not even watching the rest of it.
Well, I wouldn't either. Did you watch the halftime? You missed the halftime?
We were eating dinner at halftime.
You didn't want to see Kendrick Lamar?
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. Yeah, tell me you're old without telling me you're old. We're sitting there watching, and nobody
I didn't see any of it.
First of all, nobody knew a Kendrick Lamar song.
Okay, yeah,
so you weren't alone.
Is he a rapper?
Yes. Okay. And then he came out, and we were all debating. Like, I didn't understand a word he said. Like, we went a long time, and then there was one song, like, it sounded like in the background, he kept saying pickleball. So every time they kept going, and I kept going, pickleball, pickleball. Like, I didn't know a single word. I was super thankful for one part about it, though. The backup dancers and stuff were clothed.
Okay.
Like, at least it wasn't, I can't stand when the girls are like, like Kanye's wife's dress at the.
I heard about that. Oh. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
I heard about it. And enough where I didn't want to see it. So I just think it was...
There were no wardrobe malfunctions?
No. And remember when Janet Jackson had that wardrobe malfunction and the world like was on edge and it was like, holy cow. And then now you think about like what people can do and like, okay, this is not where we expected to go, but like Kanye's wife's dress at the Grammys.
I heard it was like she was wearing pantyhose.
It was see-through. Like you could see everything. Like, here's my proposal. Like, here's what I think. Like, if you walk around nude, is that not against the law?
I think it is against
the law. It's against the law. You're breaking a law, like, and you are not allowed to do that. Like, arrest her. Like, I don't want to see that.
Why
like,
would you want other people to see your wife that way?
That's another debate. And that dude, I don't know what he is or who he is. I don't know much about him. And I don't have anything positive to say, so I'm not going to say it. But, like, I just don't. We desensitize so much of this stuff for kids. And then it's like, and then we wonder why sex is not an issue. It's like everybody's having sex and it's just part of what we do. Like, no, it's not. It's not what sex was created and intended to do and to be. And I think it makes it harder and harder to raise kids. And now listen, there's also been some stuff recently with Trump that he's done that's great, that's awesome. And it's cool to see. And, you know, women are out, or men are out of women's sports, which is
about that. We probably ought to talk about that. I mean, there's so many different directions we could go here. So definitely, let's put a pin in that and come back to it.
Put a pin in it?
Yeah, put a pin in it and come back to it.
All right.
Keep going with what you're going on.
I don't remember where I was going now. That's where I was talking. That's where I was going next. That's right, where my mind went.
Let's talk about no more, so does no that mean more I take boys the pin in out? Girl sport. Let's take it out.
I mean,
we can take the pin out.
You're confusing me. I don't understand this. No, I mean, I just think there's a lot of good things that are going on as well, I guess. And so we can wait. We can save that for another time. But
I was able to talk to Lindsay and get an update on her cancer, brain tumor. And I just thought maybe we'd talk about that a little bit. Y'all had not told the kids yet, and y'all were going to tell the kids about it.
Yeah.
So let's – I mean, this is obviously a serious
– Well, last time we talked, we found – we knew it was a tumor. We were waiting for the results, and it took – 4 to 5 weeks, and we were like, okay, well, I guess, you know, no news is good news, and kind of took it that way. But then we came back and we got the results, and we figured out that obviously they got worse, and it wasn't what we wanted it to be. But I think the biggest thing I've taken away from it so far is just it's been inspiring. Like, it's been really inspiring to watch my wife, like, to watch her handle hard. Like, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Like, I already love my wife, and I didn't think I could love her anymore, but I do. Like, it's been fun to, and it's fun to watch God start piecing things together. And I'm already watching her, you know, her cancer ministry take place. Like, she's reaching out to people who have cancer that she knows that just got diagnosed, and like, that's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, and God, there's nothing to waste, right? Like, God's always going to get his glory. And there's so many people in this community that are praying, which is so awesome and so cool. So it's been fun to watch her, you know, not flinch, not back down, not bat an eye, not shed a tear. Like, she knows that God's got her back, and God's got her right where she wants her. And, now telling the kids was different. You know, they're in their lives, and you want them to know. I always want them to know, because I've talked about it since I was little with my kids, man. Like, how do we create struggle? I've talked to Lindsay about that for years. Like, how do we create hard? How do we create their fiery furnace? You know, their moment where their faith is forged, and it's really hard to do it. Well, now we got presented with an opportunity, and
it doesn't get any more challenging than this.
No. And so, like, it was interesting to sit down and tell them, and they both handled it very differently, not surprisingly, like we just talked about. But, you know, Lindsay told them exactly what it was, and Leah's very inquisitive and wants to know. But a couple of good things came out of it that I think really helped us how to handle the situation moving forward. But it was an honest conversation. You know, we also aren't the type that's going to flip out. Like, we're not the type that's going to cry and go crazy. And now, first of all, hold on, let me back up. I am a crier. I am the type that will cry. Lindsay definitely isn't. But like, just explain when the procedure is going to take place. Her surgery's in March, and we'll go to Duke, and you know, all the things that come with this. It's going to be a battle, man. Like, it's going to be a battle, but we're equipped for it. Like, God God's made us for this. Like, we are built for this. Everybody that I talk to people about that, and I keep saying that, and they're like, they smile, and they're like, yeah, y'all are. And so telling the kids that. And our biggest prayer is, like, I had everybody around me, and I texted you. My biggest prayer was, like, this is our kids' moment to run towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be hard. This is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to see, hard to watch, hard to talk about. But, like, that God becomes their refuge, that God is where they go, that our family becomes closer. And I share a lot about Lee on this podcast in a negative sense. So I'm never going to be that I don't want to be that parent that always shares all the positive stuff, because it's not realistic. It's not what it is. So I've shared so much about how she's difficult and she's not the easiest to parent.
Does she listen to this podcast?
I don't think so. I sure hope not. If she does, then I haven't helped. I very seriously doubt it. Nicholas, I could see listening. But we got a text from school 2 days ago. And she was like, she said, I'm so annoyed. She said, the two people in front of me right now are yelling at each other. They're talking about religion. One guy says, you come from an ape. Another lady's talking about this. And they're cursing at each other back and forth. And she's just like, and the one girl, she's just getting mean. And it's just not nice. She said, I'm praying for them both right now. And then I texted back, and I'm like, that's awesome. That's all you can do is pray for them, love on them, you know, try to find a way maybe mm-hmm. to communicate with them and settle something down, but that's all you can do. And then she sat back and she was just like, you know, thank you for the examples that you are to me. And Leah doesn't talk like that. Mm-hmm. Like, she's 14. We don't expect her to talk like that, but to say that, like, to, she said, the examples y'all are, how you serve others, how you love others. Like, that's a moment. I don't think that moment happens without what we're going through. Like, I think, you know, and that's one thing I would encourage everybody, and is we always have to remind ourselves, like, God doesn't waste situations and opportunities, and he's going to let you go through things that are very difficult, and we're going through one, but he is our refuge, and he is more than enough, and he's still going to be there, and he's still going to show up. It might not always look the way we want it to look, but he's there, and he wants good things for us, and he wants us to prosper and to be successful. So I think now for a family, it's just navigating that, right? Like, what does that look like? You know, how do we continue to walk in it? And surgery will be a big surgery, and it's a big deal, and it's a big thing coming up. And, you know, we're going to take it just like we take everything else, and that's head on. Like,
well, y'all's faith is so strong. It's already impacting tons of people. Of course, Lindsay sent me an update of when the surgery was going to be and just her attitude and thoughts. And it was just, it was, the whole thing was super positive, super optimistic, super faith-filled. And I forwarded that text to several people who've been asking, and everyone's response back was, their faith is so strong. It's so encouraging to me. I talked to both of y'all's parents at the game the other night. They seem obviously more concerned than you guys, and they're more worried. But I think
my mom listens. I have to be smart, because
she told me she wasn't going to listen anymore.
Yeah, she got mad at she got mad because I don't know what the conversation was. She got mad, but yeah, like there,
she got mad because you were talking about how she was physical with you, discipline wise. Growing up.
She was. No lies told.
And your dad confirmed it.
100%.
And then I was like, well, you can still listen because of me. And she's like, but you didn't defend me. And I was like, well, I wasn't there. I wasn't, you know, but she was like, you know me. You know I don't do that. But your dad was. But I think the faith is strong. So how did Leah and Nicholas react differently to the news? So Lindsay's having surgery. She's having the tumor removed.
Yeah.
At Duke. In March.
Yeah.
And that was a big, you know, it is cancerous.
Yeah.
And so the super, super serious. What kind of cancer is it? People have been asking me.
I don't know the name of it. Like, it sounds like Lindsay cusses at me every time she says it, like astrocytoma or something like that. It's very similar to whatever that is. It's close to that. I know that. Is that what you're asking? Like,
yeah, there's one that's really bad.
Glioma, yeah. Something is blast something, geoglioma, yeah, something. There's a lot of omas, and
is that what she has?
No, it's not that one. So it's that. There's 100% reason to be optimistic. It's definitely not as bad as it could be, for sure. So we have an unbelievable group of friends, And when something mm-hmm. happens, like with our community and our church, like kid, they're going to reach out and they're going to plug in. And that's absolutely what we are, who we are as a community. This community is fantastic. And so Leah's, one of her first comments was, she said, "Will you please tell your friends not to text me?" And so, and again, she's 14. And we were like, "Why?" She's like, "It's not me that's sick." And she was like, "And it just reminds me and it puts a pit in my stomach and I don't like it." And we're like, "Okay." Like, and then, but to explain the why of why people are texting you and because mm-hmm. they love you. But she's 14. And so it was one of those things where we just told our friends like, "Hey, just act normal." She's built different and she just doesn't like pity. She doesn't enjoy attention like that. She just doesn't, like, it bothers her. Like the next day, her friend, who's an awesome friend, brought her a biscuit and a Powerade. And she was like, she sent an angry emoji, you know, like she's like, why would she do this? I get it. I understand I understand how she's feeling. I understand why. I don't fully get it. And we're trying to explain that their support, as a way of supporting us, is by supporting you. And so she just didn't get that component of it. So we just told our friends, you know, to respect that, please. Like, that's something you can do for her. That will be good for her. And then she said, I don't want to hear the C word, which again, completely get. Like, first she was kind of mad, you know, upset, and she needed some time. And then she came back and then she's talked to us about these other things. But she was like, "I just don't want to hear the C word." And she's watched movies where she knows a lot of times what bad things happen when you get cancer. Mm-hmm. And obviously we do too. All of us do. And so like, that was her takeaway. And then she's been great. Her attitude's been better, you know, around the house, and she's helped more and she's been more loving. And like, it's impacted her, which is really, really cool. And then the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, this is fantastic. I mean, this is Nicholas Pollock to a T, and probably everybody who knows Nicholas is exactly how he would respond. How do you feel, bud? Like, you understand this? Like, you got it? How do you feel? I'm fine. Well, like, good. Sure. Positive. You're good. And he was like, "Y'all said everything's going to be okay. I'm trusting everything's going to be okay."
He's not going down any crazy rabbit holes.
No, he said, yeah. "Y'all said it's going to be okay. I'm good with that. I believe you. I trust you." Like, and just, I mean, his faith is impressive as a 16-year-old. I mean, like, I don't think he worries. I don't think he has fear or anxiety and that stuff, because I think he knows, like, who's in control. Mm-hmm. And so it was not surprising at all how both of them responded. Like, I didn't truly know how Leah would respond. I worry obviously more about her than Nicholas, but that was our conversation and our response, which was, you know, two opposite sides of the spectrum.
What's interesting is different people respond differently to cancer. There's a gentleman in our church that called me, and he has cancer. But he wanted me to pray for him and care for him, and he's going through chemo and radiation and all of the things. But he didn't want me to tell anybody. I was like, "Well, can I tell Jennifer?" He didn't even want me to tell Jennifer. So Jennifer doesn't even know about it. Like, she doesn't even know that this guy has cancer.
She probably does now.
Which now she's going
to
ask me.
You just said it to the world on the podcast.
But he didn't want my kids finding out. He didn't want the kids to find out. For whatever reason, he didn't want my kids to find out about it. And he felt like if I told Jennifer, then she might tell them. And so anyway, I've kind of keeping this in the vault, which normally I tell Jennifer everything. But I asked him, and he said, don't tell her. And
you got to honor that.
You know, I'm honoring him.
You need to respect that.
But I asked you, I was like, "Hey, do you want me to get the elders, the staff, the prayer team?" And you're like, "Absolutely." And I've literally texted pastors that I know around the U.S., like, "Can you get your church praying?" And everyone's like, I mean, we've got thousands of people praying for Lindsay.
Well, and that...
And so
that matters, man. Like, yeah. That, I mean,
and that's what, and people keep asking me, like, "Hey, is it okay if I share?"
Yes.
Like, Doc reached out to me.
Dr. Merritt?
Yeah. Yeah. 'Cause I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. Well, that's my mentor. You know that.
No. I know exactly where I stand in this thing because Doc's like, I'm getting radio silence. I need to know what's going on. But he was getting.
So you didn't get radio silence, did you?
No, I didn't. I was like, uh-huh. I was actually. So
Pastor Jay's a little jealous of Dr. Mary.
Actually, I just left Davy and Lindsay. I was just at their kids' basketball game. Yeah. And I gave him. But he was wanting to know, could he get the UGA, FCA praying? Like, is it okay to get people? I'm like, yes. Davey wants as many people praying as possible.
We believe that prayer changes things. Yeah. 100%. And there's a million stories of people that have gone through different things and that miracles happen. So, and the Bible tells us, like, you can pray for that mountain to move and it can move. Mm-hmm. And I think the hardest thing about the hardest thing about that is always you don't know if it will work, but I'm trying to do a much better job of like, I'm claiming it. Like, this is what you say. And, you know, I think all of us, when we have fear, and I think this is I've said this before, but this is a better way to say it. When we have fear, I think we attach faith to it. Like fear. Okay. Attach a verse to it and go attack it. Like, because we're all going to have those doubts and those worries and those fears, but how do we just slap it in the face? Like, because we want to starve fear. Mm-hmm. We want to starve.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we want to starve fear and we want to feed faith.
Feed faith.
Yeah, like that's, we don't want, the more you feed it, the more it grows. So we ain't trying to grow fear. We're trying to grow faith. Like, and so, yes, the more prayers, the better. So anybody out there, you know, that's definitely what we want. That's definitely what we're in. But again, nothing is to waste, and this bad news is, I'm already watching things happen that are just like, they're God and they're awesome. And if you'll just look through them in your life, when you're in that valley and you're in and you get bad news and you get hard news, like if you'll look for them and you'll talk to God, like he'll show you, like there are so many good things that come out of every situation if we believe it and if we look for it, not if we look for the other end, because you can find the other end too. You'll find negativity and you'll find people that will jump in your corner about, you know, why this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't be like this, shouldn't be like that. You can find plenty of that as well. But I think we've seen that God's been faithful, and we've had tough times, which is cool. And so unfortunately, we've had some practice with adversity, which is good and bad, right? Like fun and not fun.
Well, when I was asking Lindsay about it, and she was kind of giving me the update and surgery, and y'all were going to go to Duke, and it was interesting to me that she was so concerned about other people. Like, she wanted to finish out the basketball season with the kids.
Yeah.
Then she was talking about the Pollock family golf tournament and wanted to be able to do that. And then she talked about, you know, getting ready for football in the fall, and, you know, because it's like a 4 to 6 month recovery.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And I was like, Lindsay, like, y'all don't have to have the golf. You don't have to do the golf tournament if you don't.
You ain't met Lindsay Pollock,
you know,
bro.
And she was like, no, we're going to do it. And I'm going to get people to help me. And y'all do have a great support group and great group of friends. I mean, even, there were tons of people just at the basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
Watching the kids play basketball.
Well, I mean, I think we got, and that's normal, by the way. That's every week.
Okay.
I mean, we have so many people that come and support just because that's what they do. Like, that's what, you know, especially our small group, like, we're always there, especially Jeff. Jeff's at everything. He never misses anything.
He's like Uncle Jeff, Uncle, huh?
100%. But like to see people, and again, we going back to Jeff, Jeff's also the guy that we talked about when he lost his wife, you know, about a year and a half ago. And like, I've been reading in, what the heck? I was reading one of the, no, that was in James. I think I was reading in James and just talking about like, your struggles and your trials and your tribulations, it's a direct benefit for you. Mm-hmm. But it also talks about how those struggles and trials and tribulations, they make you better for others. Mm-hmm. Like, God's building something inside of you that he can use in other people's situations and struggles. And to watch Jeff, like, Jeff texted me and Lindsay, and I'm not going to tell people his business because I can't do that. But just what he said in a long, like, paragraph form, like, it's exactly what you want to hear. Like, the growth that he's had from his struggle and the place where he's at right now and how he got there and stuff, like, it's inspiring. It's been inspiring to us. Like, he's inspired our faith with the way he's handled things, and he's So, and he's continuing to inspire us and help us, and he's there for anything we need. So, like, spending time in other people's, you know, trials and other people's tribulations, that's what you can do. You can't say the right words. It's just like you taught me with Jeff when I was talking on the phone with you when he found out the news. And I was like, dude, I don't know what to say. Just be there. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're there, that's how you spell it, right? Right? T-I-M-E is how you spell comfort. Like, it's how you help people in hard times, is you show up and you don't know what to say. And that's what that's another thing Lindsay said too. And just like, I feel like everyone looks at me now like with pity. Like, she's like, I feel like they're like, I don't know what to say. And of course, because people don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, and my buddy Kyle, he was like, he was in the stands at a basketball game. He was like, hey, you know, have you heard anything, you know, about your tumor and blah, blah. And she was like, well, yeah. He was like, you know, I got cancer. He was like, what? Like, completely caught him off guard because she just kind of said it. And he was mm-hmm. like, I don't really know what to say. Like, mm-hmm. and that's a part of it too, that.
Well, people don't know what to say. So that's why Leah's friend brought her the Gatorade and the biscuit.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to do. So like, let me bring you something.
Here you go. Just chow down.
So y'all's good friend, Jeff, lost his wife. Has that brought y'all closer together?
Oh, man.
Through this experience and your friend group and your small group.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I can't imagine. Y'all have gotten even closer than you were before.
I mean, 10 times closer. It's forged our group. It just shows you, man. And even with Lindsay's last, you know, surgery, like, it just shows you, like, it's just, it's incredible. Like, it's incredible how many people, like, because you feel the prayers. I mean, you feel it. Like, mm-hmm. like there's a reason you handle situations better, because the Spirit of God, like, you can absolutely feel it. And Lindsay's prayer request for the last surgery just, I mean, they came true. Like, the pain, like, no pain. Mm-hmm. And she didn't take Tylenol. She took Tylenol that night after they drilled in her skull, and then never took another thing. Like, she was great. She was awesome. We were up and moving around. And but just to watch them come in, and I mean, they went to Jeff's, you know, house again for Christmas, and all the Santa's helpers basically decorated the whole house.
Oh, that's cool.
That's what they do. Like, it's a team effort in everything. And like, how can we plug in? How can we help? And I mean, Lindsay just texted me and Jeff and just said that, like, hey, holiday weekend coming up, like, are you going to have to work? You know, do we need to keep the kids? You know? And so it's something that you can't explain probably unless you've been through it, but it's just, actually most everybody probably has. You've been through some kind of trial, and when you do this together and you bond together and you pray together and you, like, you grow together and you build a bond that's like, man, this is tough. Like, this is awesome. So we've definitely done that.
Before the basketball game started, I think the kids were warming up. I was talking to Lindsay, and then Jeff came up, and so the three of us were talking. But the way that Jeff and Lindsay were interacting, in my mind, I was thinking, they're like brother, sister. Like, it's like family relationship.
It's my wife has infinite more wisdom than I do. Like, she has this ability and this uncanny, like, graciousness and kindness. And it's her gift, 100%. It's her spiritual gift. But, like, she said something in the beginning, and she's never been through anything like this. And she lost her best friend. Jody was one of her best friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how she knows these things and like some of this stuff she knows, but she was like, listen, she goes, I can't do anything for Jody. Like, there's nothing I can do for Jody. She's gone. She said, but you know what? Like, the way I honor her and the way I'm going to continue to honor her the rest of her life is I'm going to show up for Jeff and the kids. And I'm like, geez, like, that's, I never correlated that with honoring Jody, but like, she's like, this is going to be a mission. Like, I will pray for them every day. And she does. And she has her prayer journal, and it's crazy. Like, it's loaded and crazy. I mean, and so, like, that's just, And so she's made sure and she's forged that. And the blessings, again, that continue to roll out of it. And, like, she's really great friends with Jody's sister now. Like, mm-hmm. they are there to get Leah.
I've seen they were at the game and Kaylee.
Kaylee and Leah are, I mean, they're great friends. Like, talk every day. And that's Jody's niece. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's you see it all around. But it's been awesome to see, and it's just awesome that you're going to war and you're going to battle, and sometimes you need a pick me up and you need somebody to. It's like Moses, his arm got tired, right, holding the staff. Like, you need somebody sometimes to come beside you and just hold your elbow up.
Yeah,
you know, like, and to have those people in your life it's rewarding for sure.
I wanted to read the James verse that you quoted. And we can talk about that a little bit. It says in James chapter 1, verse 2 and following, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And so it says that whenever you face trials of many kinds.
They're coming.
It doesn't say if you're going to face trials. It says when you do. And then it says many, many, many kinds. But it's developing your faith. It's developing your character. It's teaching you to persevere. So God's using the difficult times in your life to mold you and shape you and make you into who it is that he wants you to be. And I mentioned this on an earlier podcast, but John Maxwell had interviewed all of these leaders and said, what was the time that you grew the most? And every single one of them mentioned some type of adversity, some type of challenge. But it's in these challenges of life that God is growing us the most. We're praying more than we've ever prayed. We're depending on him. I mean, my prayer life has increased. I mean, every day I keep praying for Lindsay. It's like the first prayer request. And it just, you know, it just gets you praying more, trusting God more, seeking him more.
Well, and your trials and your tribulations, just to put in perspective to what James's were and Peter and all them, like when this was, you know, written, like, you know, James, first of all, James didn't believe in Jesus until he saw him resurrected. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't think he was the Messiah. Like, he was his brother. I'm sure, like, imagine those conversations, by the way. Hey, my brother can walk on water. What can you do, James? Like, what's your party trick? But I think, but James pastoring one of the first churches, like, they were getting absolutely mocked and destroyed for their faith. They were in the minority. They were, and listen, what they did because of their courage and because of their faith and because James understood that, he was able to spread Christianity and able to share Jesus's story. Mm-hmm. To now look what it is 2,000 years later. Like, that's crazy. But that, you talk about being under scrutiny, and like, they were all killed and martyred for their faith. But he was like, no, we're going to stand firm in this. Like, we know what the truth is, and we saw this, and we understand that this is going to be used for the glory of God. And it was, and it will be for your life. 100%.
Yeah. I like what it says down in verse 12. It says, blessed is the man or the person who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So I love that there's a reward, that there is blessings at the end of the trial, at the end of the whatever the challenge is.